of sinners, and we shall show us. Thank you. So you go on, take some shower, take some rest, I'll finish the work up for you. So all the laborers left and went back to their houses. Then King Roy himself uprooted all the weeds in his 5 to 10 acres of land within 1 hour. 50 laborers had been working all morning and not able to get much of a dent. And he did it just like that. So when the laborers came back, they saw there's this big pile of weeds. So they went to Haggai Pundit. Oh, Pundit, your son, Ben King Roy, has told us to go home and take food and all the vines and spread all the weeds out within 1 hour of lunch break. This is where the idea of 1 hour for lunch comes from. That's right. So, we took our food and he pulled it all out and we've gone back. It's very wonderful. You don't see. So, Haggai Pundit, and when the partner of the team go to see your son, must be good all the time. And so there's this huge amount of weeds, but there's no Ben King Roy. So maybe he's hiding in the amount of weeds today. You can't find him anywhere. But what that team actually becomes very, very disturbed. Haggai Roji becomes very upset. His son Ben King is gone now. So they all start crying, the villagers come, they're looking around, they're looking for Ben King Roy, and all of a sudden, from the sky, a voice comes. You will not see me any longer. This is the voice of Ben King Roy, of course. He says to his mother and father, you will not see me any longer. But on the coming of prophecy, in the river, you will find a log of wood. You can take that log up and worship me in that form. So, that's what happened on the coming of prophecy. The villagers were all at the riverbank and they saw that big log. So they went and got Elijah and told him, and Elijah went out and personally himself, by himself, which Elijah is very strong. He picked that log up and put it on his shoulder and brought it into the shore, and he personally called the deity of Bucky Bahari Roy. And this deity was installed there by which Elijah. If you go there, that deity is still worshipped there. And every Nityananda Chaurasi in front of this temple, they have a huge big mouth. It's a big, big for all the people from Sinan who just come. And this thing is so special. When Nityananda left his earthly pastimes here, he did so that he went into this deity. So, this is the relationship between Nityananda and his brother Ben King Roy. Amazing pastimes. One that's particularly nice is a description of the opulent dressing of Lord Nityananda. If you look at Lord Nityananda today, it doesn't get any more opulent than this. Redundas and cartels and incredible embroidery work on the finest of cloth and garlands and fruits and decorations. And so here it describes one day, Nityananda felt the desire to dress himself with ornaments and fine dress. No sooner had he thought this than people started arriving at his door with all these gifts. Someone came with the finest of silks, bolts and bolts of silks, some of it embroidered with delicate flowers and forest scenes, and some of it just came by itself. Some of it with golden jewelry work around the edges. So many different types of silks. And they offered them to Lord Nityananda with great reverence and respect. The Lord placed all of them before him and decided which ones he would wear. Someone else came and they got exquisite gold jewelry studded with brilliant gems. Now, there is one person in the Bible, his name is Anuba Goswami. And he takes care of a place called Nityananda Vat, which is on the Chamu River. And he has in the treasury there one of these golden bangles of Nityananda that has the gems, 13 stones, right? Yeah, 13, something like that. And he's occasionally taking them out and giving darshan to devotees. So very nice place to go. So, such a wide variety of shapes and designs on jewelry. You know, generally jewelry is just one thing, but this describes such a wide variety of designs and shapes. And gold ornaments studded with pearls, emeralds, rubies, and gold work is very intricate and had exquisite designs of animals and birds. It says that you can only wear rings on all 10 fingers. Now, sometimes you'll be out at the grocery store, or maybe at another place of shopping, and you'll see someone come up and they've got rings on all their fingers. And generally the reaction is, wow. A little bit wrong, you know, and usually, some of the times, they'll have a couple of rings on some of those 10 fingers, right? Or you'll see the classical manly guys that, you know, short opening, hairy chest, and gold chains hanging down. I work with such a guy, it's just embarrassing to look at. So, but, we can remember, it enhances his beauty, and only makes him so attractive, rings on all of his fingers, and nice gold jewelry hanging from his neck. As a special favor to Lord Shiva, he wore two strands of rubrush beads. And as he moved, the light hitting these different jewels set them all on fire, and they became a fortune. Around his ankles were pure silver ankle belts that tinkled in the most pleasing manner. And the cloth that he wore was white, cream, and blue, and yellow, and it flowed with such grace. You know, it's a thing that we dirty boys and shirty ladies also, but you get all the flows just right. So they kind of, you know, never works. You know, the cloth just doesn't cooperate. You can know the cloth just really cognizant of being one, but you know, it fully cooperates. All the folds and the ruffles and everything are just perfect, you know. It mentions that the devotees made garlands for him out of mahalati, malika, beauty, and champak flowers. And they put him over his head, and they rest him on his chest, and made him look even more beautiful than he already was. And with each motion, these garlands swayed from left to right, left to right. The fragrance of the combined scent of these different flowers and these garlands, it was just, it was amazing. It mingled with the romance of sandalwood paste that was on his body. And you can just imagine how incredibly intoxicating it was. Now we come to the turban. Different colored cloths were wrapped in such a way to give a very beautiful look to the turban. I mean, turbans are just incredible. We're very well known here for our turbans. You know, for turbans and deities. And it just mentions that many multicolored and garlands in the turban. And, you know, it's described as the most unique of headwear. His happy face had a charming glow to it that overshadowed the brilliance of a million moons. A couple of hours, 3 or 4 days ago, it was like a very bright night, and the moon wasn't quite full, but it was very, very strong. And you can see it here in the house, and the lights are out, this light emanating in from the yard because the moon is so brilliant. So take 1 million of those moons, not even close to the effulgent beauty of Lord Nityananda. Now, what have we got here? His smile and his lotus eyes rolled throughout the entire room, and in his heart, he released a floodgate of love of God. Here, he had 2 iron rods that he carried with him. And they shone like silver, and were on either side of the throne he sat on. In one of his hands he had a plow, as if he were Lord Balaam. And his associates appeared as cowherd boys, who took up different ornaments and instruments to decorate him and play for him. And they dressed themselves also in armlets and belts and anklets and necklaces, and so on like that. So Nityananda's journey and his dressing is also very, very unique. In this way, dressed in this manner, Nityananda would go out with all of his associates to graze with the cows. There were also cows, and they took care of them. They visited the different houses in the Vaishnavas, And when they would go, they would give them mercy and receive Peshama and thanks from them. And everyone that saw him was completely captivated by his beauty and his power. He gave out the pure essence of devotion and matters to anyone he came in contact with. And his mercy was there for everyone. It mentions that at this time he would do his kirtan and dancing. And that when Lord Nityananda would dance and swirl and sing in the kirtan, everyone would just be completely overwhelmed with so much appreciation and smooth and ecstasy at the very sight of Lord Nityananda. Even the young children, they would exhibit amazing powers in the presence of Lord Nityananda. Ordinarily, the children wouldn't have such amazing potency on their own. But when they were in this association, they became empowered with abilities. They would uproot trees and fight with each other with them. These incredible activities. They would plug each other. I'm also a child of God. And hundreds of these children would join him, chant jubilant with amazing, Jai Chicken, Jai Nityananda. And so this is an amazing phenomenon that the villagers had never seen. Witness, Nityananda was there, dressed as a cowherd boy, with all the children dressed as cowherd boys, tearing up trees and chanting Jai Govinda, Jai Nityananda. And in this way, all the residents would come before the Lord and would pray to him. And the Lord would look upon everyone as if he were their father. And the food would be given to him, he would be manifested into all the quantities and feed all of those residents with food from his own hands. And he would sit next to them, and he would speak to them very lovingly, although some of them, he would beat them like a disciplinarian if they required it. Sometimes he would do like that. But all the time it mentions that Yudhira would laugh out loud, very enthusiastically, chanting what he would do in this way. So I think we're finished there with bringing everything off of the Abhishek. I do have 10 more pages, but the pastimes of Lord Nityananda are unlimited. Yes, but I heard of it. One more. Okay, one more. So a few days passed, but I've always been a few days passed, and Lord Nityananda decided to let him have just another section. So, he went to another date with his associates. He didn't go by himself. And he traveled to Shantipur, because another section was using a Dvaitacharya there. And he came to Dvaitacharya's house. Dvaitacharya and Nityananda had a very interesting relationship. They're very similar in age, although Dvaitacharya's a bit older. They're both disciples of Manipur. They both have a pleasing nature with each other. So, Nityananda came to him and he roared very loudly when they arrived at the home of the Dvaitacharya. Nityananda and the Dvaitacharya could understand he came. And he came out and said, oh, my Nitya has come. Oh, this is very good. For so many days you've been separated from me. Now, I will tie you up in my grips. Wherever you go, bring. Now, it mentions that sometimes Dvaitacharya would address the Ananda as O Prabhu. And sometimes he would address him as, you great drunkard. This is the nature of their activities. These antics always brought great pleasure to Nityananda and he would have these exchanges with Dvaitacharya. Dvaitacharya offered all obeisances to Nityananda, circumambulated him, and then encircled. He first circumambulated him, then encircled him in his world form with his own arms. And when the two of them embraced each other with such love that they both were bathing the other one with tears coming from their eyes. And then in the middle of this embrace, and flowing with tears, they fell to the ground and were rolling around in the dust, and the dust was becoming wet and taking their bodies with the mud and the very down, and they looked like two golden mountains becoming more and more covered in dust as they rolled around the ground in this world and tightening each other's embrace. And then they got up and they tried to touch you, said, excuse me, I'll touch you.
No, no, no.
Sometimes it would happen. You jump away, and they jump away. So they were jumping all over the house and they were showering this courtyard, trying to touch each other's feet and running and running like this. And then they began roaring as they did this. And they roared with the sound of 1,000 lions.
Has anybody ever heard a lion or been to the air? I mean, been to a zoo sometime?
No,
I've never heard a lion around here, and you can hear it on tape or something, but it's quite loud. That's what they tell me. But imagine, not one lion, not 100 lions, but 1,000 lions roaring, and this was the sound of Wake and Charlotte and the image and were working together. Finally, they quieted themselves down a little bit. They sat down, and Advaita Charlie folded his hands in front of Nityananda. Your transcendental form is saturated with pure eternal joy. Thus, you have believed in Nityananda. You are the embodiment of all the transcendental qualities of Lord Chaitanya. And you are the liberation for all of the fallen souls. You are the firm pillar of religion that is unswayed by the destructive forces of Kali Yuga, and you're the only shelter of all the devotees. You are truly the solid main trunk and the treasure of Lord Chaitanya's devotional service. You are the teacher of great devotees, even Brahma, Shiva, and Lord Muni. Although everyone can come to the platform of devotional service, it is only through your grace that we will get that Brahma. So this way, if they could try to glorify Nityananda, I am alone. Dvaita Charya went into an ecstatic trance just from speaking the words of the Lord. See, this is the difference between us and these personalities. And Dvaita Charya speaks about Nityananda's pastimes in just a few sentences of goes into trance. I've been talking for an hour now, I got nothing. Speaking out from me in this way, Dvaita Charya revealed the fact that he was one of the few people that knew the real personality of Lord Nityananda. Now, Lord Nityananda and Dvaita Charya, they do get into these microphones back and forth. You know, it's a sign of their camaraderie. You know, throwing your brains at each other and calling each other, trying to go back on that person. So this one, last time I finish it, such an act of a dinner with Dvaita Charya's house. And Nityananda said, he said, Mata, are those the sweets? Sachinata said, yes, those sweets, not very informal. So Sachinata went to the kitchen and Dvaita Charya came out with 4 sandwiches. She gave them to Nityananda. Nityananda ate one, threw the other 3 on the floor. Now, if your mother gives you 4 sweets and you throw 3 on the floor, is that a good thing? Probably not such a good idea. So the old one, and Sachinata said, there's only one sweet, where are the others? Sachinata said, go try it. You're filling them on the floor. So we're filling them on the floor. Now I'm sitting with them on the floor all over the building. Oh, look, there's some sweets on the floor. And put them up. He said, there are 3 sweets there. Sachinata said, go try. Do not reveal your malapotency in front of me. Nityananda folded his hands and said, yes, Sachinata, I will do as you request. This was the word of surrender of the Lord Nityananda to Sachinata. So Nityananda Ram Ki! Nityananda Ki! Nityananda Prabhupada Ki!